It's time for Explore Fairbanks on KFAR Radio, talking everything tourism and exploring all that the Golden Heart City has to offer for visitors and residents alike. Brought to you by Explore Fairbanks, located in the Morris Thompson Cultural and Visitor Center in downtown Fairbanks. And now, here's the crew from Explore Fairbanks.
I got to change that. I'm not really a crew. I guess I'm a crew of one. Good afternoon. Welcome to Explore Fairbanks here on KFAR Radio. We're talking everything tourism and exploring Fairbanks in the Golden Heart City. And joining me in the studio today is my guest, Elizabeth Griswold, the general manager at Pike's Waterfront Lodge. Good afternoon and welcome, Elizabeth.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you here. Of course, we're talking Pike's Waterfront Lodge, and I didn't really realize how far, now I'm born and raised here in Fairbanks, born in 1960, but I didn't realize the history of Pike's restaurant or Pike's Landing restaurant. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
So Pike's is actually for Lloyd Pike and the Pike's homestead, and he homesteaded back there in the 1940s, and he was instrumental more than we would actually realize in Fairbanks, because he was instrumental as a seaplane port before the international airport was built.
Okay.
You had planes that could not fly into downtown Fairbanks because of the bridges, the old Cushman Bridge that I believe is up in Nome now,
okay,
or the wires that would go across the river. You know, you had to be a pretty good pilot, and most bush pilots, well, they have to start off somewhere.
Right.
So when they couldn't land close to town, they would land out further out, and they were landing off of Lloyd Pike's property.
Okay.
So he had a seaplane port that is recognized by the FAA. So it was there. He also helped give off some of his land to help build the 3-mile road to go into Fairbanks, because freight companies said that, hey, if you don't build us a road to get into Fairbanks, you're going to have to get your freight out of Nenana. So local Fairbanksans got together, they donated or sold their land or did whatever they did back then,
right,
to put in the road, Airport Way.
Wow. Okay. That's interesting.
So then he built his own club out there. I mean, he was a man of tourism even way back then.
Okay.
He worked in local hotels around town during the winters, but he had built out a bar restaurant type area that stood probably right where our cabins are, and it washed away in the flood of 67.
Okay.
Then he rebuilt Pike's Landing, and it opened in 69. So the old question is, you know, what came first, the rooster or the egg?
You're right, you're right.
What came first, Pike's Landing or the boat landing? Turns out the boat landing was there first.
Okay. So the boat landing was there, and it was also kind of a probably a get-off for the plane, too.
It was a seaplane port that became a boat landing when you have a bar in summers that are fabulous in Fairbanks, and boats, transportation became more prevalent for everybody.
That's it. I hate to age myself, but I was born in 1960, so all that happened in my lifetime, apparently.
So guess what? We learned the history of this boat launch recently from Richard Ween, the son of Noel Ween.
Okay.
Pioneer Aviation. Just within the last year, we've learned all this information.
That's an awesome story. So now, we got to fast forward just a little bit now, because of course, now we know Pike's as what it's become, even though it just started out as the restaurant or the bar, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Always, that's the bar.
Yeah, it was a bar, and that was before even a deck. Now, Jay Ramos, of course, now all of us local folks, we know the Ramoses from way back when, but of course, Jay was born here, spent a lot of time here. We all know his dad from the tennis world and other things, and he started off with Jay Bird's Wing World, and that's where a lot of us kind of got to know him.
Right. Everybody remembers him out on the street corner in his chicken suit advertising Jay Bird's Wing World.
And a pickle. That was his big catchphrase. He doesn't like that I bring that up every time I see him, but I do.
It's before my time in Fairbanks, but okay. I've seen plenty of commercials for it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Okay, so along comes Jay, always looking for the next thing. Of course, started with the Wing World, took over Food Factory, and just changed that world completely.
With three locations. He had the College Road location, South Cushman, and the one out in North Pole. Then he went into
That's
state
right.
politics. Oh, well, actually, he bought Pike's Landing first in 1999.
Okay.
And then he did 6 years in politics. And then he started building the hotel, I believe, in 2000. And he started out as a silent partner in the hotel.
Wow, Jay being silent about anything?
That didn't last long. We all know this.
No, of course not. Yeah. That's why he's not anymore.
No.
Okay. Boy, sure, interesting. So, of course, Jay's one of these guys who just can't leave well enough alone, because he has this vision always of growth and something bigger, something different, and something for the community. So he kind of got involved in 99 when it was just the bar and restaurant. So what was the first thing that went up? Because now you look over there and you're always adding stuff, but I don't want to get too far into that before we talk about the beginnings of the hotel.
So Pike's Landing, I believe he redid some of the decking over there, added onto the decking at Pike's Landing after he purchased that. But then the hotel being built at 2000, and then I believe he did now this is where my memory doesn't go straight. Was it the cabins first? I believe the cabins came next.
Okay.
Well, actually, he redid the Binkley Room. He took out the small little hotel breakfast dining area and built on the Binkley Room because Fairbanks needed more meeting spaces.
Right.
I mean, got to have our wedding venues during the summer,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, especially that size, and it's beautiful overlooking the river, too.
And now we call it the Binkley Art Gallery. But then he built the 28 cabins that are all reclaimed Nenana spruce logs, so reclaimed from a fire in Nenana.
Okay.
So reuse, recycle, that's what tourism does best. Then he built the greenhouse. And if anybody's wondering, the large greenhouse, actually, when it was torn down last year, it went to a greenhouse facility here in town. So it is still in great use, or will be when they erect it.
Right. And, of course, that's the kind of thing you would expect from Jay.
We had the DC-6 building with one of Cliff Everett's old DC-6 planes on the top.
Yep,
it used
yep.
to be the suites and treats, and now that's being remodeled into hotel rooms as well.
So now backing up just a little bit to the cabins, because those started out, I remember that they were rented out a little more long-term, correct? Those weren't originally made just for guests.
So they were long-term rentals from October to April. So before Fairbanks and the great work of Explore Fairbanks started seeing this huge growth in winter tourism, you know, there just wasn't that many hotel rooms in the winter that,
right.
you know, so they rented them out long-term to like UAF students, great economical monthly pricing from like October to April. But then as we started experiencing winter tourism and its magnificent growth that we've all seen here in Fairbanks, man, we turned them back into daily rentals, and guests love it. It's that authentic Alaskan experience that they're looking
right.
for.
They all want that cabin type thing, and that's got the modern convenience and everything. Everything's nearby, but yet you can also have that feeling that you're out in the middle of nowhere.
65-inch screen TV, running water, your own private heat.
Okay, not that rustic then.
No, but it's great.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely. And it's funny that, not to talk about anybody or anything else, but when you talk about winter tourism and how you had to open those up, when you look around at how many facilities and hotels and new ones that have opened up or constantly opened up, there was a week or so back, we were trying to find a hotel room for a couple of days, and there was the only thing available was just there was this a hotel room or two and somebody that was renting out his motorhome
mm-hmm.
for staying. So it can get pretty tight up here in the winter.
With the extreme growth that we've seen in winter tourism, Fairbanks is now seeing a 7 to 8 week time period where we're sold out just as much like we are during the summer. So February and March are just sold out dates throughout
Isn't
the town.
Great? Isn't that great? And not to toot our horn and your horn and everything, but that's just great for especially winter travelers. That's great for the economy of Fairbanks, because a lot of times there's a difference between winter travelers and summer travelers. A lot of the summertime ones come up maybe on a cruise. They spend a day here and then they're out. Wintertime, most of them are on their own, right?
They're experiencing everything that Fairbanks has. They're coming to Alaska for what Fairbanks or the interior, the Arctic, all have to offer. They're spending more. They're here in our shops. They're here in our restaurants. They're taking our tours. So many mom-and-pop tour companies started out as mom-and-pops, and all of a sudden they're full-blown companies
right.
with payrolls and city taxes, and everybody here in Fairbanks benefits from it.
Certainly. So let's focus back a little bit now to Pikes, and because when we're talking about things that have been added and are going to be added on, we still have a little ways to go here. Because you've got just a couple of Aurora things now, but you have the Aurora Conservatory. That probably came next after the cabins and the greenhouse and everything, right?
Yep. So we have our E.T. Barnett Activities Building that has a little library, theater, and billiard room, just activities for the guests or even local Alaskans to come see when you are experiencing Fairbanks. But we have the Aurora Conservatory, which is kind of like a glass building. It's heated primarily. If it drops below 20, 30 below, we might close it down like for that really cold spell because
sure.
You just can't heat a glass building.
Right.
Let's just be honest. And then last year, we opened up the Aurora Discovery Institute. And that's pretty amazing. It's got a 7-foot earth globe in it that rotates on an axis with lights that duplicate the sun and then the night. The Great City Lights light up on it. And 8 iPads that are interactive just to teach you about what is the Aurora. Because that's what guests ask. That's what locals ask.
Right.
And you really can't explain it. But we're kind of like, here, this is our interpretation of it. This will also keep you warm while you're out waiting for the auroras to come out at night.
Right. And it's funny because, you know, we're doing the show on KFAR and there's a lot of old timers. A lot of people lived here a long time, but a lot of very smart people. So it's probably some people that can tell you exactly what causes the aurora and all the minutia. And there's some of us, before I worked at Explore Fairbanks, you know, being born and raised or something I just see all the time, honestly never really thought about it.
Exactly. We actually have inside the Aurora Discovery Institute, there's a film that plays on a loop and we're lucky enough to get permission from the University of Alaska Fairbanks. The Geophysical Institute created this film. And it's about 27 minutes long. And it shows both the science behind the aurora and the native mythology behind the aurora.
That's fascinating.
So it plays on a loop. And you can sit there. And it's fantastic. I've watched it many times. And I learn something new every time I watch it.
Now, another thing we should probably mention, since most of our listeners are on the local side, and some may have been out to Pikes to see some of this stuff, but you actively encourage locals to come out and check some of this stuff out, correct?
Oh, certainly. I mean, we've all had friends and family that come into town and we're like, well, why do you live here? Or what's there to do here? And Pikes hopes to help answer those questions. I mean, Fairbanks is a really cool town. We're unlike any other. I mean, the highest per capita of, like, Thai food, amazing.
Yeah,
culinary, the beer scene is amazing, the distilleries and the breweries. But also, like, what's great about Fairbanks? And we have artwork.
Yep.
You know, the University of Alaska Fairbanks Museum is amazing, but so is the artwork right inside the hotel. Maybe you don't have 2 hours to go up to the museum, but you got 30 minutes on your way to the airport, and you're like, hey, you want to see some cool artwork? We have artists like Rusty Herlin, who is about as local to the Fairbanks area for historic artists that you can get. We also have Randall Compton Prince, who doesn't love our living artist. Mm-hmm. He's amazing. He creates us something pretty often.
Yeah. And that's the interesting thing about walking into Pikes. You're not going to run out of things to look at, that's for sure. And so if you're a local person and you haven't spent much time out there doing that, a great evening, day, afternoon, or anything. You could go have dinner or lunch at Pikes.
Pikes Landing's open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. And then over at the hotel, we have an ice cream social every evening from 6 to 9 p.m., dollar scoops of ice cream.
That's very cool.
And our hotel bar is even open from like 5 to 10 every night. So if you're not quite, you know, Pikes Landing's too busy, you might be able to find a quieter spot right next door.
It is a whole different vibe over there. And
yes.
It's just right next to it. And still we have Jeffrey Ellis for Love Brooks still doing it over there, huh?
Oh, my God. His food is so amazing.
Yeah.
Have you tried the prime rib sandwich or the fish and chips?
There's not much I haven't tried over there.
I know,
at one point. I've tried things that haven't been on the menu for 10 or 20 years.
And Tammy Kaye's Berry Blast. Oh.
Yes. No, we've had that. Because you can get that large. Me and my wife, Dana, and Glenn and Maria, we're sometimes do. We had a big one with 4 straws.
Shareable drink. And then you have the baby berry for the individual.
I mean, no, don't get me wrong. I could drink it myself, but I think the town of Fairbanks would be better off if I didn't. Okay, well, I tell you what, now would probably be a great time to take a quick commercial break. Once again, you're listening to Explore Fairbanks here on KFAR. I'm speaking with Elizabeth Griswold, the general manager at Pike. So we've talked about Pike's Landing and how it started and the hotel and some of the additions. But there's more things coming up in Pike's future. We'll be back to talk about those right here on KFAR after this.
We will continue to explore Fairbanks right after this short message from our sponsors.
With northern lights in the sky and plenty to do on the ground, winter in Fairbanks offers something for everyone. Let Explore Fairbanks help you discover all there is to see and do this winter in Fairbanks. Visit explorefairbanks.com to browse the events, calendar, find businesses to visit, or check out the Fairbanks Winter Guide. You can also visit us 7 days a week inside the Morris Thompson Cultural and Visitor Center in downtown Fairbanks. From dog mushing to ice sculptures and skiing to theater, get out. Explore Fairbanks this winter.
Now back to Explore Fairbanks on KFAR Radio.
And we're back with Explore Fairbanks. Once again, talking with Elizabeth Griswold, the general manager at Pike's Waterfront Lodge. And we've talked a lot about the things that are there and have been there, but we haven't talked about what's coming up in the future. And in knowing Jay, there's always a lot of stuff coming up. Now, one of the things that I heard that you were doing is trying to get that area, not just Pike's, but the area around it, listed on the National Historical Registry. So how would you go about doing that? And what do you think is your argument for putting it there? And how do you envision it happening, or what happens if you get that designation?
So after talking with those that are in charge of putting things on the National Historic Registry, pretty much they normally look for, like, is this place historic or is this district, this area historic? And we have several historic districts in Fairbanks already, right, but nothing new has gone on the registry in the last 20 years here in Fairbanks. So Pike's in the area around it is what we would consider a historic district. Lloyd Pike had a lot to do with tourism in the early 40s and 50s and 60s. And we feel like, well, why is Pike's the way it is? And when we learned that the boat launch came before the bar, it opened our eyes to what it could possibly be. So Jay Ramirez has been working with companies that know more than we do on how to put something on the registry and doing all of the research process, working with Joni Skillbridge. She's a member of the Pioneers, an amazing woman for research and history. Just truly amazing, the stuff that she does. You can see most of her artwork, any if you've been to Pike's, right, any of the signage. She does a lot of our historic facts for us.
Oh, okay.
So she's working to on the application process. But we're trying to do a historic district because the Pike's area doesn't just encompass us. The district actually would extend over to where we de-ice our Alaska Airlines planes on the runway, okay, because that was his homestead. It would be his whole homestead would kind of be on the district. So the Princess Riverside Lodge would be in the district just by association.
Right.
So they could declare an area or his original homestead as a historic district if we're successful.
So out of curiosity, does that include down to the Riverboat Discovery?
Not quite that far down. I think it goes down to about Dale Road, because it would be, you know, whatever his acreage was, and I don't remember exactly how many acres it was. I do know that it extends over to where we de-ice, and it extends over to Pike's Landing Road, which is what the Princess Riverside Lodge is on.
Okay.
And I think it goes over towards, like, Dale Road, but that area right there.
So now what, once it gets on the registry,
which is a long process.
Right. What would that mean? Now, will you be doing some additional stuff because of that?
So if we're successful, we hope to go in front of, you have to go in front of the borough first, and then the state, and then it goes to the keeper of the registry. So we're working through all of those formal processes. But if we're successful, what it means to us is just bragging rights. We get the brown sign on the road that says National Historic Registry Landmark, just kind of like the pump house. And, you know, if we're really lucky, we get to have the little X for food available or lodging available underneath it. It's just bragging rights. That's all it is. But it's really cool bragging rights.
But that also does mean something to the visitor to know that, and even for the locals too.
Exactly. And Jay was a history major in college, so it's really exciting to him too.
I didn't know that. I thought he studied Wings 101. That was his.
That was his minor.
Okay. Oh, nicely done, Elizabeth. Okay. So let's talk a little bit with the additions of things. Maybe we'll talk a little bit because we talked about the boat launch being right there. And that gets pretty busy sometimes. And you've got people who are just looky-loos and people who, incidentally, you need to put more flat rocks there because I'm running out of skipping rocks. So go down there and skip
Note
rocks.
Taken.
You can get off and on in your canoes. A lot of people go with the power boats. But again, it gets a little congested. So you guys are looking at to alleviate some of that.
We are. So we are actually in the process of getting a permit through DNR, Fish and Game, and all the other powers that may be that have control over the river. And we are doing an application process to put in a second boat launch further downriver towards Dale Road, so on the other side of Pike's Landing. And that would be for the mechanized boats, for that way the boat trailers move further down and it just alleviates some of the congestion. And then that way, what we call the floaters, the canoes and kayaks, they can have that first original boat launch to make safer entry. Tourists that are just standing there looking at the Love Alaska sign are not getting run over. It's going to make it all better.
Yeah, and I know, and this isn't like, oh, get rid of them. It's like, no, let's find a better place for them and for everybody. Because there's some huge trucks and huge trailers and huge boats, and it's not necessarily easy to navigate that. So you're doing it for the advantages of people with the non-motorized, but also for the people that want to put boats
in. Yeah, for those that own boats, like me personally, you don't want to park your truck and trailer too far away from where you're either putting your boat in or taking it out of. So we're going to have that boat parking right next to the boat launch. It makes much more sense for everybody involved.
But it'll still be close to the bar of the deck, though,
right? Oh, yes.
Okay. Whew.
With the walking path.
Okay. Might even be better.
Yes.
It will be better. All right. So now, since we're talking about boat launch, in that whole area there, that has been known as the ice bridge forever. But when I started using it as an ice bridge, and we're talking mid-70s, there wasn't open water behind Pioneer Park, so things changed. Do people still use that as an ice bridge?
Hopefully not. Okay. So snow machiners, yes. The cars have been fewer and fewer, but it's almost a rite of passage in spring to see, are you going to have that one person that tries it? It's been cold, and then we hope not. We discourage it. We put signage up to, say, please don't, because we value you and your car.
Right.
So,
one thing I noticed is a sign always keeps Alaskans from doing stuff.
No.
Well, that was sarcasm.
It's mostly a challenge. Oh, I can.
Really? Don't? I know I can get across there. Yeah. We've all gone a little bit on it later than we should. But the funny thing, and we were talking about this, to the best of my knowledge, being born, and I don't think anybody's ever died on the ice bridge, but there's been a ton of cars that have gone in and people have lost vehicles.
I've never heard of anybody being seriously injured or anything. So thankfully it has a good reputation of that.
Right.
But it's not necessarily an ice bridge anymore with whatever climate change has happened in the river.
Yeah.
We even put signs up of when it's thick enough to even walk across because people have started walking across the river now.
Right. So as we say, nobody's hurt this. And pride doesn't count as getting hurt because that's when it's always a guy in the truck standing next to it always has that look on his face on the front of the news minor. So we got that. But also in that area, we're talking about the Love Alaska sign and the archway because that's kind of new. And you were telling me what that's designed after and it makes total sense.
I mean, if people haven't quite figured it out yet, the Love Alaska is the Alaskan takeoff of the Hollywood sign.
Right.
Just like our Ice Bridge sign is the Alaskan takeoff of the Santa Monica Pier sign.
Yeah.
So we bring other culture, whether it's properly property, intellectual property theft, or whatever it is, we bring it back and we recreate it so that Fairbanks can have fun with it in our own way. Yeah. And I believe that I saw Ice Alaska in their social media posts this year have it carved out similar to the way that Love Alaska is carved out. Okay. So I think the tradition of repurposing and reusing has gone one step further this year.
That's excellent. And we talk about the Love Alaska sign because that is one of those and I bring journalists and photographers up all the time, and you deal with visitors a lot. That's one of those Instagrammable places, summer or winter.
It has had so many social media hits that Google itself has pinned it as a place, an actual place.
Okay.
It has no real address, right, but Google has pinned it as an actual place of things to do on search on Google.
Now, do you guys still do the golf ball over the river?
No.
Okay.
So we actually tore out, we had two locations.
Yeah.
One went away when we built the Aurora Discovery Institute. And the other one sadly went away, the original one from Pike's Landing Restaurant, went away this fall because we ripped out the old deck and we're building a new deck here this spring.
Of course you are.
Yes.
Of course. So when do you think that's going to be ready, or what's the estimate?
The contractors don't like us, but they need to start building it in April so it's summer ready. This is Fairbanks. We need to enjoy the deck at Pike's.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely. Okay, so we've talked about what's there. Now maybe what could be, but let's talk about some of the additions that you're looking at adding.
Okay, so for those that have been in Fairbanks for a long time, we all know Jaybird's Wing World, his original Wing World. Well, those that may have driven to the airport lately have seen the new Jaybird's Wing World. It is aviation-themed hotel rooms,
okay,
a double entendre on the name,
okay,
Jaybird's Wing World.
How's that going over with some people?
They would prefer the wings.
Because when you told me I was going to do a Jaybird's Wing World, I'm like, oh, man, I haven't had one of those in so. Maybe you should talk to Jeffrey L. and see if he can figure out something.
Yeah, Jeffrey needs to put the wing recipe at the restaurant.
Yeah, he could do that. Because there's going to be people. Yeah, because we all remember Jaybird, and those were so good. That's what really kind of launched
into
everything.
I never had them.
Oh, yeah, they were good.
So we have aviation-themed rooms in the works, and those are opening up here this spring. So we're very happy. We're actually having a celebration with Richard Wien and the Wien family for the 100th anniversary of Noel Wien's flight to Fairbanks or Anchorage and the open cockpit type thing. So we're going to have that open in time for this July for that.
Very cool.
And then we have on the other side of Pike's Landing, you guys have seen a new building going up. That's the Reindeer Ranger Station. So those are 7 hotels rooms as well, but we're also going to have a reindeer experience there. That won't open up until this fall, probably September-ish, hopefully. But yeah, we're going to add reindeer to Pike's Landing.
So actual live reindeer.
Live reindeer. Okay, so you can sit in the restaurant and enjoy your burger and then look out the wonderful window and see reindeer.
Okay.
So you're dining with reindeer.
We have to say that because we're on KFAR and people hear reindeer experience. Maybe they think, so I get to hunt them? Can I shoot him?
No.
These are friendly petting.
Jeffrey Love does have a reindeer hot dog on the menu, though.
Of course he does. All right. So as we're wrapping up here, Elizabeth, first of all, thanks for joining us. And is there anything else that you can think of that we haven't mentioned that we might want to?
Well, Pike's is local.
Yeah.
Whether it's Pike's Landing Restaurant, Pike's Waterfront Lodge, local. We believe in Fairbanks. We believe in the growth that Fairbanks has seen both for summer and winter tourism. The work that Explore Fairbanks does is absolutely amazing. We keep inviting guests to come see what Alaska's all about. We do have a few more building projects that are not quite permitted yet, so I'll keep those under wrap. But, you know, for us locals, we'll see it because Pike's is expanding. And by the way, the bike path that DOT put in here just a couple years ago has been amazing. And it's allowing us to expand and grow. So
that's very cool. And, you know, something that we didn't really talk about that I want to make sure I get in because Jay's a local guy. You are one of us now, Elizabeth. But Jay does a lot of stuff for the community and some that is seen, but a lot that's not seen because he's not necessarily a guy that has to have all the attention for doing some of the things that he does.
Not something that, he doesn't always want to be out in the forefront. We all remember his commercials from supporting the local food bank.
Right.
And then when he got away from the canned food drives, he still does a fundraiser for the shelter, I believe, every year annually. So he does a lot of things in the backgrounds, sponsorships on different things. But, you know, he just likes to be the local Alaskan guy. Yeah. You know, he supports local, so we ask Fairbanks to support local.
Yeah.
Great guy. Always busy, but always has time to shake your hand, give you a smile, and talk with you.
And always creative with what's coming next.
Yes. I have a feeling we'll find some of that out. Elizabeth, thank you very much for joining us again.
Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to Explore Fairbanks on KFAR Radio. For more information, log on to explorefairbanks.com. And to listen to this or any of the past shows, just log on to the KFAR Archives page at kfarradio.com. This has been a presentation of Last Frontier Media Active.
You have been listening to Explore Fairbanks on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com. To listen back to this program or any past shows, simply log on to our website and click on the Archives page. Explore Fairbanks has been a production of Last Frontier Media Active.